regular zoning board meeting for the town of Champlain will order on Wednesday, January 13th at 12 p.m. Members of the board are present. The media has been notified. Please stand for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, I need a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Approval of vouchers, ambulance fund 1656 to 1661, general fund 48296, 48352, tax account 5223, 5329.
Motion.
I'll second.
Motion been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Approval of the minutes, December 16th, 2015 meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Carried. Treasurer's report.
Collecting money hand over fist. Very busy. We have now, I've collected almost $5 million. And of that, $4,102,399.20 is going out on the first January settlement. So that's one-third of the taxes. So looks like we're rich, but we're not. So other than that, nothing too much happening. So before the tax money goes out, we have $4,058,917.87 in the regular bank account, the town account, and the ambulance account has $416,800.62.
So move for approval.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded to approve the treasurer's report. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Discussion, possible action, fireworks sales ordinance. We've contacted, what's her name? I'm getting old.
Kristen.
Kristen. We told her we had it on the agenda. They're not here. I guess if it's okay with the board, we can move that down in the agenda, discuss it, and we have Greg Bone with us for the...
See if they come in, yeah.
For the item number 10.
Sure.
Okay, we'll skip to item number 10. Discussion, possible action, child life jacket wear bill. Greg?
Okay, thank you. Well, first of all, I came here today to ask for your support, the town's support, regarding this life jacket requirements for children. Personally, I've been a guide here in the Minocqua area. I live in Hazelhurst, but I've been guiding here for approximately 40 years full-time. And one of the things I've noticed on the water was a total neglect for child safety regarding life jackets. There was a drowning on Minocqua Lake by Jamie Pontel probably 3 to 4 years ago. It was a mother of three daughters from Rhinelander. I believe it was a school teacher. And she had gone into the water to try to save her young daughter who got in trouble. Out on the water, and as a result, she did save her. She made it all the way back to the pontoon boat where her husband was, which her husband was operating. He was able to grab the young girl, his daughter, get her in the boat, put her on the seat, turned around, and Jamie was gone. That led my wife and I into researching something, and that was the hidden danger of parents drowning, trying to save children, not wearing life jackets. Now, I know that sounds a little odd, but it's definitely there. Shawano Lake, just this year, same thing happened. Father pulling his 8-year-old son inner tubing on Shawano Lake, 10-year-old and an 8-year-old. The 8-year-old got into trouble, went off of the tube right on the side of the boat. Father panicked, no life jacket on the 8-year-old, no life jacket on the father. He dropped. The son swam into shallow water and stood there for an hour waiting for help. So we found this hidden danger in children not wearing life jackets, in addition to children also drowning and being in danger on the water. And we wanted to do something. I just couldn't read any more about this without taking some form of action. So I researched it. And I found, my wife Audrey and I just feel that this is probably the most neglectful child safety concern in the state of Wisconsin. It's not like a Northwoods issue, it's not a Monaco issue, it's not a Lactiflat, it's a statewide issue. Wherever there's water statewide, this is an issue for it. It's hard to imagine. I brought this along just so you have an example of this is a child-sized life jacket. There's, of course, one smaller infant size and one larger a youth size. Very similar to car seats. That's how car seats are. You have your infant, child, youth. Life jackets are similar the same way. You have those three sizes. Hard to believe that the child that fits into this doesn't have to wear it. I just can't imagine that. Not only not wear it, but what about the child that's in this? How would they ever get this on themselves, buckled on, in the event of an incident or accident? So I brought it along just as a visual to show you how young of a child isn't protected in the state of Wisconsin. They don't have to wear that, and they don't. 50% do. Only 50%. My research is 53%. The U.S. Coast Guard and Wisconsin DNR is right at 50% of children. I went as far as to stand on the Minocqua Bridge on a holiday weekend counting people, life vests, children, to see how many, and it was exactly 53%. During the time I did some filming with Channel 12, with Area Supervisor Warden David Walls from Woodruff, we were filming and we had a pontoon go by us with seven people on board. There was an infant being held by the mother, a three-year-old or four-year-old leaning on her leg, and the rest, and her, the mother, I'm assuming, and the rest were adults. Not one had a life jacket on. I was like, wow, wow. This is something that I really wanted to put an effort in. Wisconsin is one of only two states, the other being Virginia, that does not require this. Wisconsin does not have a state law that requires anyone, including infants and children, to wear a life jacket while boating, skiing, or tubing. High impact sports of skiing, tubing, kids flying off. I see it all the time when I'm on the water. They get hurt. The first thing that happens is you panic and you try to help them or save them. Incidentally, many of these people tire, they get exhausted, and the parents are drowning as a result. So many of these instances where drownings have occurred, there could have been multiple drownings. You have the young child in the water, and then the parent going in after that child to save them. It's amazing that we don't have even more. But I think the neglect certainly is definitely there. Many people are shocked to find out this is not a Wisconsin law. I hear it all the time, every day. And a lot of even avid boaters will say something like, well, my child will not go on that boat or near the water without a life jacket. They cannot go on a boat, but your child's not always with the parent. And many of the parents aren't wearing a life jacket themselves. So it makes it kind of a multiple danger there. We used to be scared to death to have our daughters go by their friends who had lake properties, cabins on the lake, homes on the lake. We never really knew if they were going to be fully protected if they did something like an on-the-water sport. So we used to send them with their life jackets because we are uncertain. I think a law would help that way an awful lot. Protecting all children while they enjoy Wisconsin's thousands of pristine lakes and waterways is critical to saving lives and promoting safe recreational tourism. I'm familiar, very familiar, with the devastation a drowning accident can bring to a family. Imagine being the son or daughter watching your mother or father drown while trying to save you because you were not wearing a life jacket. Living with that for 50 years is unimaginable to me. That propels me every day. I think of that every day I do this, I think of that. The statewide media coverage and impact of a child death or drowning by accidental drowning can affect a community like this and the tourism for many years afterward. Not just for days, years, for years. I'm finding out it's worse than I thought. There's more to this than I actually thought. When's the last time you wanted to swim or fish on a lake after hearing a drowning occurred recently? I won't go there, personally, myself. I just can't do it. And there's been people telling me from resorts they would be out of business if they had a drowning death on their lake. So there's a lot more here than I ever imagined this to be. Is it okay if I just read you a short letter from All Seasons Resort on Little Crawling Stone Lake? This is from, I received this from Jerry Fidala, who supported this with our local representative and senator. Again, I come looking for your support on LRB 4151 related to life jackets being required for children when on the water in Wisconsin. This piece of legislation proposed by Greg and Audrey Bone is not only meaningful, but should also be a nonpartisan. And I am sure you will agree, as a resort owner, All Seasons Resort, on the Fence Lake chain in Lac des Flambeaux for the past 23 years, I have seen hand in time and time again the dangers of people not taking the water seriously. Last summer, my son-in-law was involved in an on-the-water rescue on our lake where a man took his three-year-old out in a kayak without any life jackets and tipped the kayak over. He had all he could do to stay afloat and hold his daughter above the water, treading above the water, until assistance from my son-in-law came along with others. Sometimes we have to protect ignorance over the innocent. And this is really true. I think that I couldn't even tell you something more important than that letter right there. There's so many of them. We're getting them every day from people, and it's really quite shocking. Wisconsin law only requires a life jacket be readily accessible on board a boat. And that's important for you to know what that means for each person and the proper size for the wearer. So you might say, well, I would have to buy all kinds of life vests. How many would I have to have? Which one should I get? You already have to do that. The law in the state says that you have to have a life jacket on board your boat for every wearer, regardless of their age and size. So you have to have that in order to boat anyway. Why would you not put it on a child on the boat if it already has to be on there? I don't understand that. I think that's a really gray area. And people do it. They just do it. They don't think. They have alcohol. A lot of times there's alcohol involved in a lot of these decisions. A lot of times, like I had said before, they're not with their parents at all times. They're with guardians and friends and so on. Unfortunately, many adult-sized life jackets are being substituted and considered acceptable for children. They're not. There's nothing worse on a child than an adult-sized life jacket. It actually is worse for them to have that than not have one at all. So a lot of times when boats are rented, for example, a pontoon boat may be rented, may have all adult-sized life jackets on board. Many of them, according to the DNR, when they're stopped, are still in the plastic that they were originally purchased in. Can you imagine a child being in trouble on the water trying to find a life jacket, then put it on, take it out of a plastic? There's so many neglectful things here that I don't even know where to start or finish with this. Readily accessible life jackets are a safety term used to inform anyone, including children, of a location of a life jacket. So what does readily accessible mean to anyone, including you, myself, anybody here? Each one of us would have a different opinion on what readily accessible means. Readily accessible to me means it's right here. It's not in a compartment. It's not locked in a compartment, things thrown over the top of it. It's right here. So if something happens, you could. But I would almost tell anybody, if an accident occurred, how would you get not only yourself prepared for something that you're not ready for, but a child, putting that on a child, getting them ready for what could happen. I think they have to wear it. I think they should be mandated to wear it. Why require a must-have life jacket like this on board and not ask them to wear it? It's like driving your child to a lake in your car, which they have to be in a seat, buckled in, getting to the lake, put them on a boat, and don't have them wear a life jacket. That that's something that I thought was a good visual, because it's very important that they have that. And then just in ending, many life jackets are stowed even locked inside bulk compartments, making them hard to locate and quickly attach them during an accident. According to the DNR, it's about 50% of people and children are not wearing them. Pontoon boats are often mistaken by their owners and tourists as a safe vessel. In fact, pontoon boats are one of the most dangerous vessels on the water. One of the reasons for that is the multiple occupants on the boat. Very obstructive visibility, stability, and life jackets not readily available make them extremely dangerous. And they're huge, they're big. They often get into these situations where children are on board. And I think there's a false sense of security on pontoon boat. You feel encapsulated by this wall of metal and so on. Those pontoon boats are as dangerous as any other boat on the water. So I think the need, because so many children are on those types of boats, I think them wearing the jacket is so important. And on, if you were in an accident on the water, how quickly could you locate and put a life jacket like that on if it was in a storage compartment? Especially if children are in the water, what would they do? And once you lose contact with a boat, whether it's a boat, a 14-foot alumacraft, or a pontoon boat, once you lose hand contact with the boat, all bets are off right there. All bets are off. The boat's going like this, and you're right here. And the boat's drifting away, and you have to follow this boat, get a hold of it, get the life jacket, put it on. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. So, the state of Wisconsin has recognized the importance of protecting children by adopting laws like safety belts, safety car seats for children. Child swimming without a life jacket to save themselves, to me, is shocking. That's not something that I even want to think about hardly, because it's so hurtful. They swim to shallow water. They cling to no-wake buoys, swimming buoys, to save their own lives when something happens. And I just find that appalling. Would you rather rescue a child that was in a vehicle accident on a road or a highway, or have to try to rescue a child on the water without a life jacket underneath the water? You have no idea where they are. You can't locate them. You yourself may not be a good swimmer. You may not have the durability to do it. Many people, elderly, aged. I used to be a great swimmer. I must say, I don't know how long I could. And you're going to try to do this. You're going to try to save them. And that's really important. And I think I just would like to end with this, if that's okay. I just want to read something. Just one of the things we never think about is rescuing a child in trouble. When they're panicked or struggling for their own life, they're extremely hard to rescue. They're strong, and they're very, very durable. I mean, they can take an adult down. For example, I'd like to just read this to you. This happened this summer. A 911 call came in just before 5 p.m. Sunday asking for help for someone drowning in Otter Lake in the town of Harrison. A Lincoln County deputy got there within 3 minutes. That's highly unusual. That was very quick. Thank God for that. He found an 11-year-old boy clinging to a buoy with his head barely above the water. The boy's father had tried to swim out to his son to save him, but the boy would push him under when trying to climb either on top of him or around him. The deputy stripped off his equipment and swam out to the boy with a rope. He then grabbed the boy, and the boy's mother pulled them and the rope back to shore. So, you know, to have children swimming to save their own lives without any type of protection is something I'd really like to change. I sure could use your support with this. I will do everything I can within my power. I took it on. I'm committed. It's huge commitment. It's been extremely tasking and a lot of time. We started it as something we wanted to do on our free time. We thought we would do our free time over the last 4 years and just study this and help and see if we could change the law. And it's turned into a full-time position, probably more full-time. It's probably double full-time. But yet I still am committed. I'm very eager to get this in front of the legislature, and I hope they give me an opportunity to speak to them. I would like to bring our community support there. Thus far, the support for this has been nearly 100% statewide from every venue you can imagine. So I'm excited about this. I'm grateful to be here in front of you to talk to you about it. I ask your support for this bill as a town and board, and would appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you for your time.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
You being on the lake so much, I have noticed lots of times we go on the Eagle River chain, and when you go to the launching site, they have boxes there that I presume probably their Lakes Committee or something puts out. And it says, if you need a life jacket today, take one. Just return it when you come back. Do you find those would be beneficial too? I mean, of course, I feel they would be, but in your studies, I'm sure you've heard, do you think that would be beneficial for those to be at a lot of lakes? I mean, not just the Eagle River chain. I've never seen them anywhere else.
Lake Tomahawk, shall we?
Yeah, do they?
Shishibakama about Lending has it.
Oh, do they?
In Plainville. But yeah, I think it's up to each individual association, and it's something that
the Lakes Association.
I think that would be pertinent to.
Maybe our Lakes Committee can look into that and asking those associations. I've got several older life jackets at home that
I'm sure there's no
grown
problem getting extras.
Yeah, collecting life jackets.
I would be more than happy to donate.
Donate.
I mean,
yeah,
I
yeah.
keep them around. I've got several of different.
Yeah,
types.
I have a lot of baby ones and
okay.
toddler ones too. That
good
I
idea.
Donate. I think they just put their name on there, and you know,
yep.
hopefully they're returned. You know, but
yeah.
I'm real familiar with the program. One of the neat things of whether or not this becomes a law statewide or not, those types of life jackets will always be needed because you either have a child that didn't fit this one, or you may have another occupant you didn't expect that came along. A friend brought a friend that brought a
right.
friend. So they're always neat. Oh, shoot, I forgot the life jacket. So those types of programs are wonderful. And they're available statewide, and it's growing and growing. And there's a part of me that says having this law, having this be a law, certainly mandates the wear of that. But also there's always times where you need one extra, or one didn't fit, or one may have been damaged. It was damaged beyond safetiness, so I think they're great as well. I surely do, yeah.
Because the people here don't have it. Actually, the bill itself is very straightforward and to the point. It's, like you said, LRB 4151/1, operating requirements carrying a passenger under the age of 13. In this subsection, recreational vessel means vessel manufactured operated primarily for pleasure or leased, rented, or chartered to any other person for the other person's pleasure, but does not include vessels engaged in carriage of passengers for hire. And it's no person may operate a recreational vessel carrying a passenger who is under the age of 13 unless any of the following apply. During all times when the recreational vehicle is underway, the passenger is wearing a properly fitted personal flotation device that is approved by the U.S. Coast Guard. And two, during all times when recreational vessels are underway, the passenger remains below deck or in an enclosed cabin. So, I mean, it's real simple.
It
You're
is.
Under the age of 13, you have to wear it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's a very consistent, it's actually very consistent with the federal law in the state of Wisconsin that does require children 13 years and less to wear a life jacket on federal regulated waters only. And when we met with the DNR secretary and some of her staff and some other people, the Shawano Lake Sheriff, or the Shawano County Sheriff and Shawano County Dive Team, Captain Tom Tuma was there as well. Everybody seemed to kind of agree that matching and staying consistent with federal law was a good thing in this case, because that would make it consistent across the state. For example, you could go on Minocqua Lake or Fence Lake or Flambeau Lake and you could ski without a life jacket. You could be under 13 years old. But if you did this on Lake Michigan or Shawamigan Bay or parts of the Mississippi and St. Croix, you're going to get a substantial ticket. So what they wanted to do was, I think the consistency in that room that day was consistency with the federal law is a good thing statewide. So that's why that matches that age criteria and some of the fine-tuning of that law was very similar to the federal laws.
I know when Greg first brought this to our attention, you know, I was born and raised up here over on the lakes all my life on crawling stone, and I was always under the impression if you were underage, under the age of 12, you had to wear a life jacket. He said, no, you don't. It has to be accessible. And even with water skiing and tubing, I'm like, you got to be kidding. So, and my kid, he doesn't get on the dock towards the boat unless he has his life jacket on, and try to put something like that on somebody swimming, I don't think you're going to do it.
No, it's true. I see a lot of young children learning how to ski or learning how to tube for like maybe the first time. You can kind of tell, no life jacket. And it's a high impact sport. You know, tubing just by its nature, you try to create, you know, these fast speeds and turns so you can, and they don't have a life jacket on. So they fly off of this, get somewhat maybe injured or hurt a little bit, and boy, it happens so quickly. It happens in seconds. So,
So I guess what I'd like to do is, if I could get permission from the board to send a letter on to our state representatives urging their passing of this.
So move for that.
Second.
Let's support this.
Jim?
I just have, where is this in the legislative process? I mean, you sound like you're starting at the grassroots and working up. Are you starting at the top down also?
Okay, that's a good question. Because I don't personally have a lot of experience in the legislative part of this whole situation, is that Representative L. Ott, his staff, have been coaching me regarding what to do and what they'd like to see me do. I just got a call from them today, and that this is making a lot of progress within the legislature. We've already had a number of co-sponsors, and from what I understand, Senator Petrowski is going to be the senator, which I'm very excited about because of his history in the legislature and his experience. I think will be really a plus for this. So it sounds like this is moving along just as they had hoped it would be at this point in time. And there's something that could be upcoming very soon regarding the legislation meeting on this. There's already a number of co-sponsors for the bill, both in the representatives and in the senators, in different districts. And the support in all of these districts has been just phenomenal. Just, I'm so grateful for their support.
If you give me the names of the representatives and the senators, I will, and the bill, the copy of the bill, I will send it out to the Lake Association presidents, and then they can get their members of their lake associations to write letters.
That'd be really helpful. One of the things that my wife Audrey and I are struggling with is how big this has gotten. It started out part-time, very part-time, and it's grown so much that my wife works full-time. Fortunately, I have time in the winter to work on this, and we are doing all we can, but yet it's not enough. I need help, certainly I do. And this was a task that I, because it's statewide, it's not just a regional or local issue, it's become a huge task. So any help or support, I would appreciate that very much, so, yes.
I'd imagine in a short period of time, you're going to get a representative that's going to want to come sign on to you, to this bill. I mean, I can't imagine.
Well, he's got those.
We have a Representative Al Ott from Fond du Lac who's on.
But there's going to be other senators too that are going to.
Yes, yes, and so far, many legislative representatives from different areas across the state and senators have signed on to the bill already.
Have they given you any idea of when it might be introduced for a vote?
Well, actually, they told me today that there's some very good possibilities in February here. I'm going to be going to Madison. So what had happened was this started like a wildfire. I don't know if that's a good way to say it, but it started out with us contacting a town, or we wanted to have a coalition of support from various just people, resort owners, chambers, and it just rolled like a wildfire would roll through the woods. It spread so much we can't even take the phone calls. There's so much support for this, I can't even take all the phone calls. So, I mean, it's the people, I think the people in the state of Wisconsin are speaking out. And that's what we hoped would happen. I'm just the messenger. And it's the people that I want. That's why I love coming to today. I love to talk with people and talk to them about this. And they're speaking out statewide. And you can't stop that. You can't grow that or stop that. They're coming out, and I'm so grateful for them and their support. So.
You've got something here, Greg, like I had. I got a 2-pound lab out of the Vilas County pound 2 years ago. He's 98 pounds. You've got a big lab.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. That's a good way to put it. That's what's happened. Yes, exactly.
All right, there's a motion and a second to send a letter off to our state representatives. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time today.
And good luck in all your efforts.
Thanks so much. I will keep you posted as we go through this. I will keep you posted.
Sounds like you're really quickly approaching the point where it's actually going to happen.
It's quickly approaching the time to where people are going to have to decide what they want.
I think, to say yes or no.
Yes. I think we're going to get in front of the legislature here at some point, and that will be exciting. I'm hopeful that that occurs. Yes.
After they vote and pass on it, we should go have dinner sometime.
We sure will. Yeah, we sure will.
Yeah. Thanks, Greg.
And thank you very much for your time today. Thank you.
I guess we'll go on to item number 11, timber sale update. We got a call from, don't forget your life jacket here.
I won't, I just wanted to get something, thank you.
We got a call and then an email from Jake Bonak with the DNR on our timber sale out at the transfer station. And Nancy may be able to explain this a little better than I can, but when he had figured the original timber sale, he was using some maps that were done by Tim Friedrich originally, and
Tim Friedrich was leaving, and yeah, he took over that, and I guess he just picked up some wrong figures. What it resulted in was a little
reduction
in the calculations of about, the original was 24,526, and after his correction, it was 23,176. So
it was about $1,500 less.
Yeah.
And
he apologized because, you know, the forester before him was retiring, and he had some incorrect figures on there, and then he picked those up. And
so our payment on the timber sale was about $1,500 less.
Yeah.
And he was very apologetic.
Yeah, I think you'll have a letter from him there. And
so I wanted to bring that up for your update. And I guess now we'll go to item number 9.
Don't we need to approve an amendment?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Okay, then I guess we need a motion.
Okay.
to approve the amendment to the timber sale. Thank you.
I so move.
I'll second with a question. Does it affect the bottom line on the budget? Do we use that?
No.
No.
Motion been made and seconded to approve the amendment to the timber sale. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Item number nine, discussion possible action fireworks sale ordinance. We had been contacted by the tribe. They have their fireworks ordinance in effect. They were asking us how we were coming along with theirs, or with ours. We told them to be looking into it. Their representatives from the tribe aren't here.
I would have thought they would have.
Yeah. You do have a copy of their ordinance. I guess maybe at this point, ask that you go through it, see if you have any questions. There are some things in here that I guess in the sale of fireworks.
Yeah, that's on page 5, it's the sale of fireworks.
And knowing who's selling them and making sure that they have liability insurance, I guess are the major points.
I didn't know if their intention was just the sale of fireworks or a full-blown fireworks ordinance, but they had mentioned just fireworks sales.
Sales. I mean, it would be something that, we'd have to have Greg finish up his review and his ideas or thoughts on it. They do have a permit processing fee of $200 here. I mean, I don't know as if we were issuing fireworks permits, ours would, what's it take to fill that out, and maybe $5 or $10 to do it.
I just didn't know, you know, them not being here, I didn't know what they were expecting. Were they expecting tribal people to go to the tribal office and get these permits?
And then
non-tribal people come to the town, but seeing
nobody. That's how we typically do it with ordinances.
But it would have been nice if one of them would have been here to help us along a little bit, so it's kind of like we're stuck right now.
Well, we're just mirroring the county, and the county mirrors the state ordinance. Is that why we're at?
Statutes. And what brought this up was at the last joint liquor committee meeting, when they brought this up, the thing that really piqued my interest was the fact that they were saying that we've had a couple of vendors on VLAN, because their ordinance only covers tribal land.
Yep.
A couple of vendors on VLAN that they weren't aware of that had minors selling fireworks. And that we can't accept that. That's not acceptable. So I want an ordinance that will prohibit that and go along with whatever the state statutes, which they have also followed the state statutes.
Yeah, they do reference the state statutes in there, so.
So I think that's really what we're looking for, is that make sure they have insurance, make sure that they are selling what is legal for them to sell.
Right. But I would really be interested. I think we should contact the county, because the sheriff is the one who's going to be the individual that's going to be handling the situation if it's illegal. So I really think that this is something that we should understand where the county stands on that, because that's the sheriff is the actual officer of the agency that will be
handling
it.
Right.
And I worked on that pretty hard when we were looking at this, because there's a lot of people that wanted some change, and initially we worked on it for quite some time, and I cannot remember exactly where we left it off. But.
Well, Nancy and I, we can check into that, and also drafting an ordinance that addresses the insurance, age of sellers, and types of fireworks that are being sold. Okay. And then we'll put that on a future board meeting. Right now, Nancy is very, very busy.
Oh, she's going on a February 4th.
February, so we'll try to get something to us in February. Yeah,
maybe
so
the second.
Second one, so that we have it prior to the summit. Okay. If that's okay with the board.
Yep.
Sounds good.
All right. Then we have item number 12. We need a motion to, yes, Jim?
I think Chris just seconded. I didn't hear you call a vote.
For?
Item 9.
There's no vote.
Aye.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Motion been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
No.
We didn't really make a motion,
but he motioned, and but it's more or less to
hold. We're not taking any action.
Yeah, we're not taking any action. It was to
look into
creating an ordinance.
Well, Ginger said I so move, and Chris, I second. It was a question, so.
Is our tape recorder working?
No, it's not. It's broken today.
It's minus.
It says memory's full.
Okay, all right. Let's, then, so that.
So there was no motion?
Well, there's really no action here.
No, it's.
We're just going to put it on a future agenda.
Okay.
Discuss it.
So then, let the minutes.
You're tabling it for further information.
Okay.
Minutes reflect that Jim had questioned it, but there is no action.
This is the first I've read of it. I need some time to go.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot there. I've gone over it here the past week, and but let the minutes show that we're.
Okay, so I just have it on here,
Yeah.
That Mr. Mayor thinks that we should contact the county sheriff, as he would be the enforcer of a ordinance anyway. And we'll put it on a the second February meeting for discussion.
Yep, very good. All right, now we'll look for a motion to adjourn at 2:40.
So moved.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried.
1:40.
1:40, holy.
I have no recorder. I have no recorder.